Lord, this morning, Father, we come before you, Lord God, with grateful hearts, Father. We come before you as your people, Lord God. And Lord, just we're thankful, Father, that we are called by your name, Lord God, and your Spirit leads and guides us into all truth and leads us through, Father, this adventure, Lord, this journey of life. And right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we just commit this time to you, Father, into your hands, into your care. We commit, Father, everything that takes place, every word that's spoken, Father, every thought that comes forward, Lord, let it be from your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, we do bind every demonic spirit, every force of the devil, Lord, and we do cast it out in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord God, for the free flow and the release of your Holy Spirit in and through every one of us, Father God. Lord, I just acknowledge openly that it's just your Spirit in me that's good. So to your Spirit I yield. And Lord, we go forward, Father, into this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, so testimonies going forward, and we're all grateful for what God is doing. And even as I was hearing, and you know, some people, you know, difficult family situation, some people, something that maybe seems light and just grateful that you made it through the traffic. But the point being that God is with us in all of the things that we're going through. At every level, every stage, He desires to be involved in our entire life and the entire life that we live here. You know, some people only want God for the little things, and then other people only want God for the big things. So there are some people that, you know, running around in life, oh, I need a parking place, oh, I need this sale to go through, Lord God, please help me. And then there's other people that only want to go to Him when there's a massive crisis and everything's falling apart, the whole world is going, the uncle's in the hospital, the grandfather's problem, whatever, and then something, that's when, okay, Lord, please, we need some help and some direction here. But the thing is God wants to, one, be involved in every aspect of the life that we live while we're here. And also He has a solution for everything, on every level. So it's like a car. You know, there's some people that maintain a car and take care of it and keep the air in the tires and make sure there's oil and there's, you know, they do the essentials. And then there's other people that will, one tire will have this much air inside, very, very low, then it'll be rusting and it's just a terrible condition, but they're just enough to put gas just to make it. And you can see these vehicles when you're driving around and you're traveling. You can see who's taking care of what they have and what they're using, and then who's just trying to make it by to the next destination. Now for us, the bodies that you're in, this is your car for your life. This is the car you have. And it's an amazing adventure that God puts us on. So while we're here, we're mindful of the body we live in, we're mindful of the soul, we're mindful of the spirit, and all of that connection with the Father. So for me, I was thinking, you know, what's something I'm grateful to God for? I'm really grateful to God that I'm still alive one more day. Because there's so much in this life and in this adventure, and as we just keep walking with Him, we learn more about Him every moment that we're here in this world. I'm grateful for the way that God delivers us, delivers me from different things that stuff that used to be a hang up for you, God sets you free and delivers you from. It's a nice thing to be free. Okay, John chapter 1. So we're grateful for freedom. John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." 1 through 5. Okay, there's so much in these verses. Just these five is a very good summary of so much of what we see all around us at any given time. Of even our life and our experience while we're here in the world. Okay, in the beginning was the Word. So, before any of this, God was, God is I am. Before any of this experience that we have here, I am, God is I am. So, and from Him, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. So God is, His Logos and who He is one in the same. God is. So, you know, we talked before about Rhema and Logos. Do you remember that? So you have the Logos of God, which is the complete bread loaf of who God is. You have the big one.
Logos.
And then you have the Rhema, which is the daily, as you and I are going through life, and God knows what you need for this day. Give us this day our daily bread. He breaks off a piece of the Logos that you need and gives it to you as Rhema this day for what you need for the situation you're in. And what we need this day is different than what we needed yesterday. Because the situations that we're facing in life now are different than what they were before. The family situations are different. The working situations are different. Country situations are different. My situation is different. Your situation is different. Everything is always changing. And we need to hear from the Father what is the word that He has for us right now. And He is that word, and He wants to give that word to us. But one thing we need to do is be in a place where we can receive that word. And that is something that we do on our side to participate with what God is doing from His end. So from God's side, He makes it available, but from our side, we do what Jesus said in Matthew 6, which is, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. So we make our step into trust and faith in what God is doing, and God meets us there and gives us that daily bread that you need. Now this in and of itself, this book, the Bible, it is the Word of God, but only when it's made alive by the Spirit of God. It seems like if you take this light here or a lamp, yes? Until the charge of the electricity is flowing through that lamp, it's not what it was meant to be. So likewise, until the Holy Spirit is flowing through this book that's in your hand and you receive it in your spirit and your spirit resonates with what's here, this is closed off to most people. So one of the things that we do is we seek to be in a place where that connection is clean and the power of God can flow freely. And this is a constant point of stopping, reflecting, checking your relationship with the Father. You know, a big part of the Sabbath, a big part of the Sabbath, the day of rest, was it was a time for people to stop and check their relationship and their connection with the Father. So you're just going, no stop. And then there's no stop. And then all of a sudden, you can go like that for 3 years and then realize, oh my gosh, where did I go? But when we are moving with the Father, and then you take a day of rest, and you stop, and you get before Him, and you allow Him to reveal where things are in life, He shows you the places where things are out of alignment, things need to be changed, things, and you allow Him that free flow into your life. And we don't let it go for too long, because it is true, we are like sheep, and we have a tendency like sheep to sort of wander. So that's why we listen for the voice of the shepherd. And when you stop like that on a weekly basis, when you stop like that, you stop and you're tuned. Where's Jesus? Ah, there. Okay, I hear. He's go this way. So, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So in the beginning there's the Word, and from the Word God created and made all things. So we go back to Genesis, God literally spoke and said, let there be light. That which was from infinity and eternal came into the natural reality. And God even created an entire dimension in which we now exist, which is different than the dimension of spirit where we all go to from here. Now, isn't that amazing that God would create, speak into existence an entire dimension, and then out of this dimension, now here we are. And now it says here that by all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So everything was made by Him. Which also means it's God's devil. This means it's... So God made the devil. God made Lucifer. God made all of these weeds that are running around that are the children of the devil, that Jesus, when He was here in the earth, called them children of the devil. Along with His sons, His children that are here in the earth. His people that will undergo difficult times, persecution that He told in John 16 towards the end of the chapter, where He said, look, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I've overcome the world.
Avahira Tavan, Yamkisi, Devatun, Yan, Muhammad Salaswa, Iman Dasi, Kino Wagi,
Now, why would a loving father, because we say God is love, right? God is love, big, big love. Okay, why would a loving father create such a horrible devil and allow all these terrible, evil children of the world to be running around and hurting the people of God? Do you wonder this? Do you? Because if God is all powerful, and we know that He is, then He would have either fully created or created and allowed certain things to run, and by letting them do what they're doing, He's still allowing that. And in the middle of that, we experience difficulty, trial, persecution, we experience loss of resources, we experience all kinds of games. All these things are going on around us all the time. The ultimate example of all of that being Jesus coming into the world and all of the things that happened to Him during His time here. So before Jesus is even out of the womb, they're already now trying to kill, within the first 2 years, they kill out all the babies, and Jesus has to get to Egypt. He's running for His life before He's 2 years old. When He's in the middle of His ministry, He has His mother and His brothers coming, showing up. Look, He's lost His mind. Look at all these people and this crazy thing that's going on. And His own family, His own brothers saying, go up to the feast and make yourself known if you want to be a public figure. They don't even believe in the person that God has made Him to be. And in over the years, He heals the 10 lepers. Only all 9 go away. 1 comes back and says thank you. He is constantly dealing with, every time He does things to help people, ingratitude, always people looking to use Him. Nobody, very few people really wanting the truth that is with God, that God wants to give them. And the close of that is, after a life of doing good and blessing people and helping people, everybody is shouting at Him, crucify. And He willingly goes to the cross on behalf of the world and to take upon Himself the sins of the world so that you and I could be redeemed. Now, how does that make sense? How does that make sense when in your natural self you look to avoid any kind of pain possible and are always looking for something that's easy, comfortable, pleasurable in this life?
Then
How many of you have ever seen a world-class athlete that became a world-class athlete by taking it easy? I mean, have you ever seen any athlete competing anywhere in the world that has become a top level in whatever they do by taking it easy? Yeah. So the cricket team just drinks a bunch of tea and then goes out there and plays a match and gets to the finals, no? No. In fact, when they have their competitions, those people, if there is any people like that that are there, they go quickly, and then you get the ones that have really trained, that have talent, that have ability, skill, and have disciplined themselves. They're the ones that come forward or reveal that they've been training. And that training is not an easy thing. It's difficult. Their bodies are tested, their minds are tested. You know how somebody gets better as an athlete is they have to go to the very physical limit that they have, and then at that physical limit push it a little bit further than they did the last time. So we have the gym over here, yes? So when these guys come over and they start lifting, they start exercising. And one guy will take a 20-pound weight and he will do 10 and he'll just get to 10. Yes? And for him to get stronger, he has to go to the very end of the limit that he can physically, get to that last one, the 10, and then put it down, and then he goes, and he rests, and he takes a break, and then he comes back 2 days later and does it again. Only the next time that he does it, instead of doing 10 times, he'll do 12 times. Or instead of doing 20 pounds, he will do 22 pounds. And if he wants... And if he wants to get stronger, he then has to be pushed further than he did the last time. That's also the reason why athletes have coaches. Because most people, if you leave it up to them in their own mind, I'm tired, I can't go any further, oh, I ran a mile last week, no? That's enough? You know, they're tired, they're sore, okay. But a coach will be there and will encourage them on, push them on, tell them to keep going. Because the coach knows, one, he knows the competition this person will be in, and he also knows what that person's actual limit is, and not what they think in their own mind. See, if you have a good coach knows what somebody can and cannot do. And he'll have been watching that athlete for a while. So if he sees one of his athletes, he'll say, okay, you're only doing 10 for 20 pounds. But he says, I really know you can do 30 pounds rather than 10. You're going easy. Now, the Spirit of God, as well, God is coaching you. God is strengthening you. God is leading and guiding you into all truth. And when God gives you an instruction, when God gives you a word, it also needs to be tested in you for it to be real in you. So God will give you a word, and then that word won't come due for 15 years. Do you still trust and believe the word that God gave you? So Abraham at 86, God gives him a word, and it's 99 before things start to maybe look like this might happen. Joseph is given a dream at 17, and he then goes a very, very different apparent direction up until he's 30. Can you imagine that? So here's Joseph with his dream. He dreams of the sheaves and the sheaves bowing down and the stars and the moon and the sun and all of that. And then now he's in a dungeon. At first he's in Potiphar's house. No, first he's sold as a slave. Then in Potiphar's house. And then, because he's trying to walk a godly line, then he gets thrown in jail. So in the natural, bad to worse, bad to worse, bad to worse, where's the word of God? But the word of God is right there. And one thing that he had to do was hold on and hold fast to what God had promised him in spite of the natural circumstances and the natural situations that he would face. You have to believe God despite what you are facing in front of you right now. You have to believe Him for what He said. And now I ask that question, why would God make a devil and all of these people be allowed these people to run around like this? But one reason is they are a means of testing, will you walk with the Father and trust Him despite the situation? So God used Pharaoh and glorified himself in Pharaoh. In Pharaoh's heart being hardened, God was glorified and revealed his power and his ability to deliver in the worst of situations for any group of people. And God will use whatever situation you're in. Romans 8:28 is absolutely true. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So God, all things. So whatever situation you're in, let's look back at Joseph. You can look back at a life when it's finished and see how God caused all of that to work together for His plan, His purpose, and how that person's life was used according to that. You know, sometimes people see people that they say, "Oh, wow, that person really, it seems like they're walking strong with God. I wish I had what that person had." Don't wish that. You don't know what that person has gone through to be even in that place. And sometimes when you see people with amazing gifts that God has put in them, they have been so broken. Again. Sometimes when you see people with amazing gifts, they have been so broken. I mean, the scriptural ones are very easy for us to see. I mean, you think of Moses, 80 years. 40 years, the backside of the desert, life is over, old murderer running around with some sheep. You're back to Joseph, sold as a slave by his own brothers? His own brothers, the same people he grew up with, sold him for money into slavery, into what would be him ending up in jail in a foreign country. And when he was walking towards them, they said, "Ah, here comes the dreamer." Ultimately, the gift that God had put in him was a point of resentment that stirred them to get rid of him. So God gifts people, chooses them, and in the process of them being gifted and chosen, they are hated and despised by the world. But God allows for that because it tests and refines and builds up and strengthens His people. And back to John chapter 1 and go back to verse 4. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 4 and 5. Okay. So he is the light of men. He is the light that came into this world. He is the light that was revealed to anyone that is walking with him and walking in truth. But for those that are locked into the world and the world system, the darkness does not comprehend the light. Rather, when it sees true light, it desires to put it out, to snuff it out, to stop it, to block it, to push it away. But you and I are among those that walk with the light, and the true light shines and flows through you. And God calls us to walk through this life, calls us to walk through this life despite all the difficulties, all the trials, all the circumstances, and the world deciding to try to hurt you and crush you. He desires that you walk through this life trusting Him. And as you do that, God is glorified. And you are also allowed to live out an amazing adventure where you learn the love that God has for you. You learn the love that God has for you, for His people, the amazing plan that He intended for you from the foundation of the world, and you live out a process of being restored unto Him that glorifies Him despite all that's going on around you in this world. And ultimately it all comes back to and comes down to Him. In the beginning was the Word, and it's about Him. It's about the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was with God, was in the beginning with God. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. He was the bread that came down from heaven. He is the life of man. He is the light of this world. It's all about Him, and we live out our lives based on the resurrection life we have in Christ Jesus. And with that, time is up, so we'll stop there for today.